Yep, Frankie Valli's people tell my people that he's going to be here in October in our studio. Fascinating. A lot of history behind that guy, I'll tell you. I'm going to open up a special hotline tonight as well, in addition to open lines. It's called the Weird Line tonight. Why? Because, well, in your life, haven't you come across at least one story where you said to yourself, that was pretty weird? I want you to share it with us. That phone number is 818-817-0021. It's the Weird Hotline, 818-817-0021. And the rest of the lines, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, I'm ready to go. I've got my little glass of iced tea, and I'm all set for 3 hours of open lines. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Better kill my radio here.
Yeah, let's tune that down and turn you on and let you go.
That's amazing. That was like instantaneous. I just got done with the screener just 1 second ago.
Sometimes when I hit the button, you never know where I'm going to pop up next.
Man, you are a quick guy.
What's going on? Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just calling. I don't know if you remember, your screener did remember, but we had a caller on your show. He said he saw a large bug, an insect the size of a potato. It was a fly.
Yes, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and he thought it was a joke, and I was thinking that seems sort of weird. I don't know, maybe it was a toy like he was saying, or it was weird. But like a few days after that happened, I was walking my backyard area, and I saw a bird heading towards me, and I just sort of, you know, it's a bird, I wasn't paying attention. I had a corner of my eye, so I saw the bird shift left and then right, and it caught my attention, so I looked back at it, and it was coming towards me. A bird can't do that. A bird can't shift left and right. It can only fly straight, you know, one way. So I'm staring at this thing, comes up to me, and I'm near a two-story house, and this thing is right over my head. I'm looking at it, and it's a dragonfly.
Oh, it's big as a bird.
8 inches wide by about a foot long, and I searched the internet after this looking for it, because this one, instead of having one long tail, it had two tails, and it looked like it was semi-transparent, like, you know how like saran wrap is?
Yeah.
It looked like that. It's semi-transparent, and it had, I saw the four wings, like a dragonfly, completely a dragonfly, and it was right over my head, and I'm just like, oh my, I couldn't believe what I'm seeing.
This thing's either prehistoric or something, it's some kind of mutation.
Exactly. You know, I'm thinking because of our atmosphere thinning and too much ultraviolet light, you know, frogs have multiple legs and things are mutating. Maybe this is one of those mutants that you're saying. And I saw it had two tails. Normally they have one long tail. This had two independent tails. And I've been searching forever on the internet trying to see this. God, I'd love to catch this thing. And I was thinking, God, if I had a camera, it'd be incredible.
Catch it? How in the heck would you grab it?
I don't know. It was, like I said, it was near a two-story structure, and it was the size of a bird over my head. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'd love to have this thing, you know, just to show people. You tell somebody it's
sure.
A cuckoo, you know.
Those things, do they bite?
I have no knowledge of that. I used to hang around when I was a kid, you know, catch frogs and tadpoles and stuff. And I've had to land on me, but to my knowledge, they've never bitten me.
They always, when I was a kid, used to look from a distance like a helicopter out there. You know, they weren't too far away from you, but in terms of perspective, they always look like little helicopters.
Exactly. They're one of the world's most advanced creatures. Did you know the fastest living thing on Earth is a dragonfly? They match speeds of 90 miles per hour.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's the fastest living thing on Earth. And this thing was so big, it didn't move as fast as the little guys do. This thing was like, it was huge. It took off. It was flying basically at the same speed as a bird. And when it left, it was looking at me, and it's weird. And it just went on its way. And, you know, it's really ironic. If you've seen Men in Black, the movie shows it starts out with a dragonfly.
Yeah, and a big one.
Yeah, exactly. I called my mom right up about it. I told her what I saw. I said, you're not going to believe this. I saw a dragonfly the size of a bird. And the first thing she said, you know what? If there's alien life visiting this planet, you never know. Maybe it'd be in the shape of something unusual.
I love it. Hey, thanks for the story.
Oh, you're very welcome.
They're out there. They're big. I've never seen one that big before. Let's go to our weird hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
George Norrie.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, and I guess you have a weird story.
Oh, yeah. First, I got kind of a weird question, which would answer. Well, I have a weird question for you. Have you ever heard of a little critter, maybe a knee high, okay, has a head of like a pit bull, with a body of like a human and a real wicked tail running around, kind of all dinosaurish like? Have you ever heard of anything like
that? Is it like a chupacabra?
What did you just say? It's got a weird name like that.
It's a chupacabra.
Yes, so you have heard of this guy.
Oh, yeah, we sure have.
No, there's all kinds of constant reportings of this guy out here, and people that don't even listen to your show or anything. I just heard of the other night as I was looking
at a pond.
If
you guys ever find one, if you ever catch one, you have got to call this show, and we've got to be able to get some people down to look at it. I know a lot of cryptozoologists who would love to witness one of these things.
One of our buddies is an Indian, and he just knows all about it. I joke about it. Oh, yeah, that doesn't exist, Ryan. He just looks at me as if I'm telling him a dog doesn't exist.
No, there's something going on with these things.
Well, so my weird story is we're in a field. A friend of mine owns a lot of land. He's got a pond right there, and it's right next to a channel of the Arkansas River known as the Verdigris out here in Oklahoma. And we're watching, you know, just at night, the stars are out. We're watching the water and how the headlights reflect off the water. And all of a sudden, like a 2-liter pop bottle was at the bottom of the pond, filled with air, something just shoots up and right directly into the headlights out in the pond out there, and something shoots up and kind of comes up like that. And then you look to the right, and the first thing you notice is it looks like a giant turtle. You see his little legs kind of come up, and then this giant hump. It was the size of a Volkswagen Beetle.
And that's not a turtle, was it?
Well,
that's a pretty big one.
We were on private land, and this thing was so slow, and like we weren't even watching. A friend of mine jumps out with a rifle. And I mean, it was just, you know, kind of that's his land, and that's just what he wanted to do, so he did it. He jumps out with a rifle and shoots it twice, and you can hear when a bullet hits the water, when it hits something and sticks, and you can hear it clearly hit, and where the water went, it obviously hit it in the neck twice, and this thing just slowly moped and rolled on, like imagine a shell rolling in the water and goes back under.
Now, here's the question, though. Why shoot the critter? It's not attacking him.
Well, this guy's a redneck out here from Oklahoma. There's a lot of, you know, people like to shoot him first, you know, and all that good stuff on the land.
Yeah, you got to get him and put that rifle down because you're dealing with history here.
But now this is where also some of those chupacabras were spotted.
Chupacabras.
No kidding either. Oh, yeah, they describe them just like I did. Crazy. I don't even want to get out of the truck to use the bathroom sometimes. We're sitting there for a long
time. Yeah, you got to be able to keep a camera with you. And if you have any friends that get pictures of these things, get them to us right away because you may be right in the middle of something. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. We're very, very nervous.
Oh, you are? Why? What's the matter?
It's hard to tell this story and have anybody believe us.
Well, let's start. Go ahead. Just take your time.
Okay. My daughter's on the other line, but I guess I'll start. She's more afraid than me. She's lived in her house for 15 years, and she has a boyfriend that moved in, and he had an argument with her next-door neighbor, who's an older man. And the neighbor told my daughter that he was sorry to involve her in this, and she didn't even know what he was talking about. But then we found out for 9 weeks she has been tortured. And it started with flashlights in the window and then running on the roof. And I hired a security guard for 3 nights, and they saw nothing, while my daughter said they were just running up and down the roof. And we got surveillance cameras on the roof, and it didn't pick up anything. And she went outside, and there were huge gold X on the side of her house. And there's green glowing lights that come under the doors. Her computer is blown up. Her phone cable was cut. Her dish cable was cut twice.
Why her?
Because we think he's put some kind of a spell on her.
Well, but is your daughter there now? What's your first name, dear?
Don't use your real name. We're afraid.
You can make up a name if you want.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's also piles of rocks in my backyard, and each one has a turquoise stone in it, and they are all connected with twigs, and they are in the backyard, on the roof, and under the front bush out in front of the house.
So you think there's someone who is doing this to you, almost in a ritual?
Yeah.
What did you do to this person?
Well, my boyfriend, he got a drum set, and he'd play late at night, but he stopped, and I think that's why.
You mean because your boyfriend played the drums late at night, this other guy has put some kind of curse on you or hex?
Yeah.
Now, and what makes...
There's also an intense shaking of the house and rolling like an earthquake.
What is this guy like? I mean, is he from a foreign land? Does he look like he knows what he's doing?
He looks like Santa Claus. He looks like a nice old man.
Have you talked to him?
She had for years.
Yeah.
Never had a problem with him until this.
Well, how do you know he's the one?
Well, it's hard to explain.
I mean, has he said anything that would give you the feeling that he was performing these rituals? That he would be the one who would be sending these things on you?
Well, I believe it's people and the demons or whatever mixed. And because the flashlight part, they would always come out from behind his camper in his yard and shine the lights.
And then why would he tell her, I'm sorry to involve you in this?
Well, it sounds like, well, now, where's the boyfriend here? Is he living with all of you?
With me.
He is. Okay, now, is this happening to him, too?
Yeah. Yeah, it started out with him, and I thought he was crazy, and then I started, you know, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and started watching when he'd complain about somebody being outside the garage door and things, and then once I saw what was happening, then, you know, it started happening to both of us.
So you're saying that this individual directed this initially at your boyfriend, and somehow it's now pulled you in on it,
Yeah. And
he is apologizing for pulling you in on it.
Yeah,
and sexual things have been happening to her twice now.
By these demons?
Yes. And
well, that's been known to happen.
And then my animals, they see things, and they run and hide and get totally scared. And my older cat had a heart attack.
Well, can't we make a little peace with this guy next door? I mean, is your boyfriend willing to say, hey, look, you know, I'm not playing the drums anymore? Kind of cut this out?
Yeah, he tried to, and...
And nothing happened? The guy didn't stop?
No.
And we got some holy water and put salt all around in the holy water, but things continue. They had to move out of the house, and they're in a motel.
How long has this been going on now?
About 3 days. And this,
the motel.
Yeah, and this thing found her and did a sexual thing on her in the motel, and it's writing things on the wall. She was talking to her sister on the phone tonight, and it wrote... sister away on the wall.
Man, this guy has really pulled out all the stops to get you to.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's like an earthquake. Well, the last night we stayed in the house, it was like a, you know, really big earthquake.
Have you tried to find anybody who could help you?
Yes.
I called the police.
Well, I'm not sure the police, as good as they are,
no,
I'm not sure there's anything they can do with this.
That's why I called you, because I do listen to the program, and I know you know a lot of things like this, and we thought you could help us. You're about my last hope.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, can you tell me what city you live in? I don't need to know your address yet, but there may be certain people who live in those areas, and they may be able to help you. They might be able to cleanse the house or something.
It's a western, northwestern part of Washington State.
All right.
Olympic.
All right. I'm going to. Tom has some information on how to get a hold of you, I take it?
Yes.
Okay. We'll do some checking for you and see if we can find some experts who live on that side of the country and see if they can help you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank
you so much.
Yeah, what a situation like that. But, look at a nice old guy who looks like Santa Claus be sending so much evil to someone. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, are you speaking to Glenn?
I don't know who you are, but...
Hello, I'm Glenn from Columbia, Missouri.
Hey, Glenn.
I had I wanted to comment with the last guest about the Ouija board.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me your story.
I didn't get to hear very much. Well, I've been speaking on the Ouija board for years, and from my experience, I speak to people that I know who have died, and I used to use it with my wife, and we had very good communication. She's really a good antenna, and me, myself, I'm not a very good conductor, personally.
Now, what do you mean you used to use it with your wife?
Well, she can talk to him without the board.
How does she do that?
I can't. Well, they just talk to her in her head, and she understands what they're saying.
But with the board, you can?
Well, with the board, we can speak to them. But without the board, I don't have that. I can't understand them. They can't talk to me the way they do to her.
Well, Glenn, have you ever had a bad experience because you're playing around with this thing?
I've spoken to some weird things. And when it gets too weird, I tell them to go away.
And they do?
You tell them to get lost, they must. And I think this is something that God endows us with. You know, leave me alone, they have to.
So you feel comfortable with a Ouija board?
Oh, I feel very comfortable with it.
And you'll keep dabbling?
Oh, yeah. And matter of fact, I have a technique that I've learned to use it by myself. Because usually you have to have two or three sets of hands on the planchette.
Well, that's what I always thought, but my guest said one person can do it.
Yeah, well, one person like my wife, she can get on there by herself and it just zings around like crazy. But when I put my hands on it, it hardly moves.
How long does it take for it to start moving, the planchette?
Me personally, a couple of minutes.
And how about with her?
With her, a fraction of a second.
And do you ask it questions about world events and things like that, or just personal stuff?
We talk about personal things who have died. We don't talk to people that we don't know, except for the instance where a young couple crashed their car behind our house and woke my wife up in the middle of the night, and we didn't know what it was and went back to sleep. Next morning, we hear that the young couple died. And she felt really guilty for not getting up and calling the police.
Oh, my.
And so we got on the board, and the girl, you know, came to talk to us, and she reassured us that, you know, it was just an accident. Don't worry about it, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, there are people that we're talking to on the other side, and you got good ones and bad ones.
Oh, yeah.
You do hear every it's run into.
See, and I always thought, though, that with a Ouija board, most of the time, the bad ones are the ones that'll communicate or that'll try to come through.
I think they're more readily going to come through, but, you know, in order to contact with people that you want to talk to, you can't. From my experience, it's like a telephone, and there's not really a phone book. The only way to dial somebody up or find them is you have to speak out loud. Here in our reality, in our dimension, you say, I want to talk to my old grandma. Come on, grandma, talk to me.
Now, I got to tell you, if what I heard in the background there sounds like some of these entities are trying to get through on the radio waves. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue all night long. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Talk about strange. James sends me this from Illinois. You want weird, George? You got it. How about being 14 years old on a Boy Scout camping trip, sneaking off in the middle of the night to just try to scare each other and stumbling upon a satanic ritual in the middle of the woods? Yeah, that would be weird and scary. Interesting email in from Margaret. I really appreciate it. Let me share it with you. George, after 31 years of marriage to an incredible man, I quite suddenly found myself a widow. In an interesting journey of rediscovering who I am, I realized early on that even more important was to uncover who I want to be in the future. I am a mom with two terrific grown children. I have been an educator for 33 very fascinating years. However, deep within me has long been a feeling that stretching out of my very closed, protected, and privileged world in these United States is another avenue essential for me to pursue. When I clicked into your Coast to Coast website, I immediately was struck by Maritza's beautiful picture and the plea to you to join in the Campaign for Children International. I immediately linked onto the organization's page and adopted the young girl profiled. Today, I have adopted my second child. Thank you for your inspiration and example that began the path for me to become a better woman and human being. With warm regards, Marianne. Thank you so much, Marianne. Appreciate that. If you would like to sponsor a child with Children International, just go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Click the yellow flashing banner on the left-hand side of the screen. $18 a month. That's all they're asking for just a one-year commitment. It'll make you feel real good. And to make you feel real good as well, they're going to give you a free copy of my book, Worker in the Light, signed by me, Bill Burns, my co-author. Won't sign it because we'll get it right to you. We wanted to get to you right away, and Bill doesn't live close to me. He's somewhere down the street somewhere. So we'll get you a free copy of the book, Worker in the Light, when you, and it doesn't matter. You know, originally it was just the first 100 people. They'll take as many as they can find, and they'll give you a free book if you sponsor a child through Children International. And the weird hotline number for you tonight is 818-817-0021. The tentative book schedule, by the way, just for the next month or so, has been posted on the coasttocoastam.com website and to the various locations that I will be. They will be updated and changed, but that's very tentative. The first trip, of course, will be in Detroit on Saturday, September 23rd in Novi, Michigan. So come on out and see me if you are in that area. As a matter of fact, you might even get a chance to meet my dad, who thinks he wants to show up and sign the book. And I said, no, Dad, I'm going to do it, not you. But he may be there, too. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, this is Deborah.
Hey, Deborah.
Stone's throw from where when you're in St. Louis. You know where Festus is?
Of course.
Well, I'm right just out in the country, just 3 miles from this.
I think that's a great, and you know what? That is country out there.
Yeah, well, I guess if you get much further, everybody says down the sticks, but no, I'm not quite down there. So, but yeah, I have a fascinating story. It happened to me. I was going to beautician school some years ago, and one of the girls there had a Ouija board, and she got to doing weird stuff with it, and she finally got scared, afraid to burn it, afraid to do anything. So she hands it to me and tells me to keep it. So I kept it, put it away for years, forgot kind of about it. Not too long ago, I was going through things, found it, pulled it out, and I thought, man, I'm not going to do anything with it either. I'm getting this back to her. If anything's done with her, she's going to be the one that's going to get the bad curses, not me. So it was really weird. I went to one place where I thought maybe she might be, and they said, no, she's out in this other town. Drove right to the place, was going into the building, and I heard these voices, like, in my mind. Like, it was almost like little elfin sounds, like, we're back. They were all excited, just, and that's the weirdest thing. It was like two of them. And I walked in the door, and there she was. She was actually not doing beautician work at the time. She was sitting there feeding a puppy with a bottle. And she looked at me in total shock, and I said, I think I have something that belongs to you, and I think I'm going to return it. I never did destroy it, and I handed it to her. I've not had that particular incident ever happen again. It was like these voices belong, these spirits belong to her, and we're just totally, I had this feeling of extreme excitement when I heard this, you know, like, thrill, and when I brought it back and handed it to her, and that was really, really a strange thing that happened. I've had other weird stuff, but we could go on for hours.
Well, you know what? I found that the giving away a Ouija board is a big mistake because it really screws up the person you gave it to.
Well, see, she gave it to me to keep.
Yeah.
And so I turned around. I just had this deep inner feeling, and we're kind of, I don't know, that kind of family has that, seems like. we had that talent to know things and things, and it just that feeling. And when I got it out again, it needed to be returned to the original person, and they need to deal with it. And that was really an unusual thing to have happen. But, yeah, as I say, I've had lots of strange things in my life. So.
Okay, cool. I'm going to be out in St. Louis in about a week or so.
Yeah, well, I'd love to get a chance to meet you, but I don't know how we'd ever work that. But, you know, yeah, I think it's pretty cool that you're doing this.
Right.
I really enjoy it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'll give out the entire book schedule as I go into each city, you know, a few days in advance, and we'll post it on the website. But we've got a tentative one up there now. Let's move on to our weird hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Jim, calling from South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah, Jim.
Home of the Fighting Irish.
And they're doing well.
Yes, they are. And I'd like to apologize to all the Wolverine fans, because tomorrow they're in trouble.
Well, let's see now. Notre Dame is ranked number 2, right?
Correct.
And Michigan is 11th, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
Not bad for a guy who doesn't watch sports all the time, right?
Excellent.
And but Michigan has been known to scare the daylights out of Notre Dame.
Always.
Yep.
Always.
So it's going to be an interesting. You know what? I don't think it's a slam dunk for you.
Oh, never. Never.
No.
Never.
But that's not your weird story.
No, it's not. This happened about 9 years ago this month, earlier this month.
All right.
Describe myself as a skeptic, but since I discovered your show about 5 years ago, I'm just very intrigued and very interested in this kind of thing. But this is what happened.
Okay.
I'm driving to pick my mom up for some tests about 5 o'clock in the morning. She had to go to the hospital, and I'm driving down State Line Road. And not thinking about anything, you know, just kind of early in the morning, a beautiful buck jumps out in the road, lands in the middle, and then continues on. A second behind it is a doe. Hits the middle of the road and jumps. As it leaps into the air, the head turns towards me. This is still freaking me out. And it's like a scraggly old lady.
Oh,
the head.
Come on.
I swear to God.
On a deer body? On
yes.
A deer's body?
On a doe.
On a doe.
I've never told anybody this in my life. Hits in the middle of the road, jumps. The head looks at me, and it's like a scraggly old lady with these gnarly teeth. And just kind of, you know.
And it keeps going.
And it hits the other side and gone.
This is as weird as it gets.
I sat in the middle of the road, State Line Road, on the Indiana-Michigan border, and just, I didn't know what to do. I just sat there thinking, what in God's name did I just see?
Now, you were on your way to get your mom, right?
Yeah, to pick her up for some tests.
All right, now I trust you carried through on that.
Oh, right? Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. That's got to be one of the weirdest stories. That is a weird story, Jim.
I thought about calling so many times, and I didn't know what, which, you know, when he said weird hotline, I said, tonight's the night. I got
to
do it.
Are you sure you weren't a little groggy because you were up?
I swear to God. I wasn't thinking about anything. I had not discovered your show yet, so I really didn't even know about all these things that are going on. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't on drugs. I was just driving and not thinking about anything.
Man, was this kind of like slow motion, too, as this was happening?
The first one, they're so graceful, you know. I mean, they leap 10 feet at a time. The buck came, hit, and I kind of slowed down, and then the doe hit the middle of the road, and when the head turned at me, like, you know, the headlights were on it, and it's just this nasty old lady's face.
Must have scared the heck out of you.
I was shaking. Walked into my mom's house, and she's, you know, ready to go, and she said, what's wrong? And I said, nothing.
Mom probably thought you needed the tests.
I wouldn't even tell her. She was going in for some pretty serious things.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to think.
Hey, by the way, how did she fare? How are things with her? Is she
excellent?
Good.
Excellent.
Good. Okay, that's a great story, Jim.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
It's true, too.
And by the way, you know, for you to wake up early in the morning, go get your mother for early 5 o'clock in the morning hospital test, good for you. Good for you. She raised you the right way. Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Welcome. Where
My
are you calling
Sharon.
From? Hey, Sharon.
Calling from Toronto.
Okay.
And I'm going to share a little story about using a Ouija board. When I was 13 years old, I had one of those Parker Brothers ones.
Yeah.
And I had this one summer when I was spending a lot of time at home alone. And I would use it by myself. And it worked. And I had a repeat visitor who claimed to be a female my age, but alive. And of course, I found that very curious, and that would make for conversation. Like, you're alive. How am I able to communicate with you? Oh, she was psychic. She
so the communication was pretty constant, huh?
It was. And it was always very pleasant and upbeat. And one day I was thinking I wanted to go to the park, and it was across the street from my house. And I said goodbye, and my friend said, be careful, and then said, do not talk to the man. And I said, thank you. Goodbye. I went across the street, hung out in the sun for a little bit, swung on the swings, noticed a man hanging out with a camera around his neck.
Uh-huh.
Looking at the playground, looking around, but I was 13, so I remember warnings from my mother, but...
Not a good sign, though.
And I guess I kind of passed him to go back to my house.
Were you all by yourself? Was there anybody else at the playground?
Yeah.
Pretty quiet.
There were lots of people.
Oh, there were? Saturday. Okay.
And I crossed the street to my house, and the man approached me. And, you know, sometimes I get a feeling right away, the way he approached me, kind of quick, like darting.
Oh, yeah.
And held his camera up to aim it at me. And he said, may I take your picture, please? And immediately I had a reaction to him, repelled. And I remembered my warning, and I said no. And I quickly went home. And I don't think he took a picture of me. It was a noisy, busy day. I tried to hear the sound of a click, but I perked up my radar. But I went back on my Ouija board. My little friend would come back and say hello, out of the park.
Little friend gave you some good advice.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It's about time those Ouija boards do something nice.
And, yeah, I suppose so. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah.
Too bad the cops didn't swarm down and take this guy away, too.
Yeah, I remember.
Because I'm sure he went right back to the little park playground.
Supposedly. Well, maybe now that you say that as well, I wish I had thought to call the police.
Turned him in.
I do remember feeling the creeps, you know, that right in my stomach.
Well, your gut was right.
Mm.
All right, thanks for the story. Appreciate that. And tell your kids, by the way, if anybody ever does that, to come and tell you, and then you call the cops or find out who this individual is and have them cart him away. They shouldn't be around playgrounds with little kids holding cameras. It's not like they're there with their little son or daughter, is it? Mm-mm, not at all. You can't trust anybody anymore. I wouldn't. I used to watch my kids like a hawk all the time, you know, to the point where you could not. And you know what it is, if you're a parent, you can't relax. You can't get comfortable. You're watching them 24/7 all the time on episodes like that. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning. Where are you?
I'm Steve, and I'm calling from Fayette, Iowa, home of the only town in the United States that has a kindergarten and a four-year university with no high school or middle school in the town.
And sometimes those who go to the university should go to the kindergarten.
Well, actually, they do because it's a teaching college, and they go down there and they help out.
That's good.
As far as what's weird, I got two stories, a what's weird and a bug story.
All right.
What's weird was my kids used to come up to me all the time going, hey, Dad, you know what's weird? And I was trying to break them of that because I thought that's a very improper way to start a conversation. So finally, I would just look at them and go, yep, I know what's weird. What's weird is waking up in the middle of the night with a craving for deep fried Jell-O. But you know what's weirder than that? Waking up with a plan on how to make it. That stopped them dead in their tracks.
It sure did, Dad.
And then when I was in the Army, I was stationed down in Panama, and they have a lot of large flying insects down there. We were cleaning our room in the barracks, getting ready for an IG inspection, and I was doing a window, and I was cleaning the outside, and I shut the window, and as I turned around and faced my fellow roommates, we heard this large click. Well, I turned around, and there was a giant flying beetle hanging from the glass. Its body was the size of my fist. The legs sticking out were as long as my fingers, and its wingspan was just like say a bird's, and it had pincers on it like my index finger my thumb.
He could snap your fingers off.
Right.
That's a big beetle.
Very big.
That's got to be one of the biggest ever, because I've seen pictures on some of these huge bugs. This one is huge.
Yeah, I think it could take a bird down real easy.
Yeah, probably could. Okay, thanks for that story.
Yep.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, welcome to the show.
My name's Tim, and I'm driving a truck somewhere in southern Illinois.
All right, well, thanks for calling. What's up?
I want to tell you about my one and only experience with a Ouija board and not only my experience with it, but my experience in trying to dispose of it.
Okay.
Quickly, my background, I was raised in a very religious Pentecostal home. I don't know if you know what their beliefs are, but that's, yes. I'll just say that, very strict. And I was always taught you don't want to open yourself up to spirits and demons by fooling with stuff like that. So that was instilled in me, and I believed that. I heard some bad stories, and I didn't want to fool with it. Well, that was as a child. As years go on, I become an adult. I went in the service and married a young lady and divorced right away. And years later, I'm in my early 20s, and I'm sitting around with some friends, and this girl says, I've got a Ouija board I use all the time. You guys want to try it? And we're in my little trailer. I said, I think that's bad news, and I don't want no demons or nothing getting in my house. And everybody was probably 21, 22, 23 in that age group. It was me and another guy and two girls, my girlfriend. And they said, oh, no, it's not bad. I said, well, you guys can do it. I'm not fooling with it. So the three of them sit at my kitchen table while I'm in the living room, and they're laughing and talking. And they're like, oh, we're talking to this 10-year-old kid that died. I don't remember the exact details of who they were, but it was a young kid. And they were asking the questions then. Honestly, even though I was raised that was bad, I thought they were just kind of fooling with me or something.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to ask it some questions, and I couldn't put my hands on the thing. So, like I said, I'd married a girl that none of these people knew. I was only married to her for a couple months. So I thought, you know what? Since none of these people know her, this was completely in another state. I wasn't from this area where I was even living at.
There's no way they're going to know.
I took a piece of paper and a pencil, and I wrote down the answer to three questions.
All right.
And the three questions were my ex-wife's middle name and her mother's birthday. The only reason I knew it is because she shared it with her. My ex-wife and her mother both had the same birthday. And one other question that I don't remember what it was, but nobody would have known these answers except it'd be like me knowing your wife's birthday.
Yeah.
There's no way they would know. I wrote this questions on there.
Of course, I don't know her birthday. Maybe that's why she's not my wife anymore, but go ahead.
And I took this, and I was sitting on my couch. I don't know why I'd done this, but I stuck it underneath the cushion, and I said, okay, ask these three questions. And I said, I've got the answers right here underneath the table. And honestly, I think the girl that brought the Ouija board over that said she'd used it before, I really don't know that she had. Now, none of these people had the religious upbringing I did. They come from decent homes, but they weren't Christians as far as that I knew of. They were just good people. And so they asked the question. And do you know, I just remembered, the third question was what my anniversary was, which was August 9th. And do you know, not only did it get all three of them right, the only thing that was wrong with the third question, which was my anniversary was the 9th,
yeah.
And it answered the 8th. But one of the other, when it spelt it out, it spelt it wrong, and I guess it was because this kid was like 10 years old or 12 years old that had died. And I'm not kidding you. I got goosebumps right now telling you this. I was just shaking. I pulled that piece of paper out and laid that on the table and let them look at that.
Oh, they must have been in shock.
And if you could have seen the look on all their faces, it was unbelievable.
It was priceless. That's a great story. Hey, we'll be back. Where did this hour go? We've got two more to go on Coast to Coast AM.